Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am your host, Monica, and I'm sitting in for none other than our leader, our fearless revolutionary, none other than the great Reverend Edward Pinkney. Reverend Pinkney, as you know, is under house arrest. He has been a political prisoner now for several months. He has just spoke with him even about an hour ago. His spirits are high. He wanted me to report out to you on a couple of things that have taken place this week, and so I will be giving you that report. He also wanted me to make sure that I once again thank all of you that not only showed up for Occupy the PGA 2014, but to those of you that showed up in court on this past Friday. It was a tremendous outpour of support for Reverend Pinkney, and we want to encourage you to continue to do all that you can by way of sending your support. Even if you can't show up physically, you can support Reverend Pinkney by sending your donations to 1940 Union Street, 1940 Union Street in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and make sure that you let Reverend Pinkney know how much you appreciate him and you love him and how much we definitely are supportive of his liberation. And so we want to make sure that we get our cash donations to him at 1940 Union Street in Benton Harbor, Michigan. The next thing we want to definitely make sure we update you on is what took place on Friday in the courtroom. And these are Reverend Pinkney's words to you. He wanted me to express that the expert witnesses that the prosecutor cannot pin the charges on Reverend Pinkney, that it was a tremendous hearing on Friday, May the 30th, a major victory for the people. No direct or indirect evidence that could prove Reverend Pinkney did anything wrong. He also states that the prosecutor attempted to call 20 to 25 witnesses that were subpoenaed, but none of those witnesses were people that actually signed a petition. Found that very, very curious. Even the judge cited that he felt that that was a peculiar thing for the prosecutor to do. Because they wanted to tell the truth, Reverend Pinkney continued to push this issue as it relates to the fact that Mayor Hightower has actually collaborated and cavorted with the prosecutor to really manufacture evidence. And so on June the 5th at 1:30 at Buren County House Courthouse, the judge will make a decision on whether or not to bound Reverend Pinkney over to be prosecuted or not. Our position is that Reverend Pinkney should not be prosecuted, that he should remain, be able to be free, and that there should be no charges pending in any regard as it relates to Reverend Pinkney and this manufactured criminal charge against him. The second thing that Reverend Pinkney also wanted me to relate to the family is that Prosecutor Mike Septic said that he was not moved by Reverend Pinkney's claim that James Hightower manufactured the evidence to stop the election. And so Reverend Pinkney's response is that James Hightower and Michael Septic are working together against the people, that both of them are corrupt and work for the corporation Whirlpool, along with Governor Snyder and his friends. And so we just want to send this message out that we demand justice, that we demand that Reverend Pinkney be immediately released, and that we stand in solidarity with him for his freedom and liberation. We're going to go straight to our phone lines. And one of the things we want to talk about just as we go to the reports from all across the nation about what is happening here in the country with the assault on democracy and the assault on pensioners and the assault on people and human rights in general. We have a situation here in Detroit where a young woman by the name of Charity Hicks, who is a food and water policy expert as well as a community activist on those two particular issues. She, about a week and a half ago, almost 2 weeks now, was actually arrested and incarcerated here in the city of Detroit in a location known as Mound Prison. It's a local detention facility that's under state control. And so she was kept there for almost 48 hours. She's a diabetic. She had some health issues that came up that really put her in a critical situation in terms of her health. And so in the meantime, she was able to get her story out because she is an international figure. And she was able to bring in a woman by the name of Maude Barlow. And Professor Barlow is an expert in terms of water and watching for the corporate manipulation of controlling water. And so when she heard what happened to Charity and how egregious it was and just how victimized she was just for alerting her neighbors that the city of Detroit is cutting off anywhere from 1,500 to 3,000 people per week, with the goal of cutting off over 120,000 families from the access to water. And so water being a basic human right, this issue was actually picked up by Professor Barlow, Maude Barlow, who is out of Canada, and she is actually charging the state of Michigan, the city of Detroit, and all relevant entities with operating a contrived kind of corporate entity to extract water away from people. And so Charity, in the meantime, was in New York visiting and actually there for a conference on the issues of food and water when she was hit by a car. And so right now she's in critical condition. We're asking everyone to pray, to continue to lift her up. But we also know that some of these things do not happen in silos, that some of these things happen on purpose. And so we don't know all of the conditions of it, but we know that there are a lot of people that are having some personal challenges. We know a lot of people are under assault in terms of their finances, their ability to get employment, in terms of tampering with their property. And so because we are aware of all of these things, we've got to begin to strategize and work together in a more cooperative, collaborative way like never before. And so we just want you to pray for Charity Hicks. She is a political figure in terms of activism and work on policies pertaining to food and water. We know that water is the new gold, and there definitely is an agenda to corporatize and control water. We know that the city of Detroit sits on 20% of the freshest water in the world. We know that it has its own water system, so all of that makes it prime for assault and attack in terms of controlling water. And so we're just pleading with all of you that have any kind of relationships in terms of your social networking, in terms of your political relationships, get the word out about what is happening. The bankruptcy is egregious. The pension is egregious. What's happening in terms of over 50% of Michiganders losing their voting rights is egregious. But when you begin to deny people the basic human right of water, you have no humanity. You have totally failed to operate as a human being. And then that cannot be tolerated by those of us that have humanity and that understand our role and responsibility to govern and to protect and to advocate for those that don't know. So we're lifting up Charity Hicks today. We're also, as we go throughout the rest of the show, I'm going to allow us to go ahead and open up the lines with Edward. I'm coming to you at area code 818. But at the end of the show, I'm going to save some time to actually honor another great hero and revolutionary figure that we lost from this week in the great Dr. Maya Angelou. Dr. Angelou was definitely a phenomenal voice for our community, and we're going to highlight her at the end of the show. And that's no slight at all, but I want to make sure that we're able to get in ample time to talk about her and close the show out with her words and some thoughts around her. But we're coming to Edward, and we really appreciate everyone being so patient and so tolerant of me being new at all of this, because I truly am sitting in on the Pinckney Show for the great Reverend Edward Pinckney. going live to you, Edward.
Well, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. You're live.
Oh, you, that was very stimulating. Every word that you were speaking, I was hanging on. You've come a long way in a very short period of time. You got the idea that people, if they don't start coming together now and working together, they won't have the chance to. Let me tell you something, and it won't be any fun when disaster strikes, if you don't have anybody else to assist you, lean on you, motivate you, not lean on you, but lean with you, you're SOL, it's called. So there's no question we're up against a very major challenge, and it's very—it's beyond anything people really imagine. They don't imagine the seriousness of what's going on. It's just too large to even fathom that it could possibly exist. And, well, what I'm going to address today is the simple ways of reversing people's illnesses. Without pharmaceutical companies, which are controlling all the universities through Travestock, if you do any kind of investigative work in the universities that they don't want you to do, any projects, they'll just cut off the funding. If they have to push it that hard, they already know. So you don't do anything that steps out of line from what they want to take care of. So there's a website that has testimonials of what calcium bentonite clay does for a person. And basically, it replaces just about everything in the medicine cabinet. And if I wanted to be secure, let's say I was in a country that, possibly the entire economy might collapse. The money situation might fall under because it has no value. And then people would be left holding the bag without anything. Well, one of the things I'd want to have is large amounts of that calcium bentonite clay. Along with some provisions would be nice, so we didn't have to go into FEMA camps. I think people need to pay attention and wake up a lot sooner than they think. First of all, the clay addresses the main cause of all your health issues, so you don't need 10 chemicals to merely suppress their symptoms. There's 101 uses that ensure that you are building your health on a solid foundation and are prepared for just about any condition or accident, and that's just saying it mildly. There's 1,001 benefits that come with detoxing your body back into its pristine condition. The clay cannot heal anything. Your clean body can heal everything, and that's a fact. When you return the body to normal homeostasis, it will function in the way it's meant to function and completely rid the body of everything that's needed to be gotten rid of. Here's a couple of individuals that wrote testimonials. This clay has given me back my passion to live my life to the fullest. Before the clay, I was sick, exhausted, depressed. Now I feel alive. Stephanie D. And you can read the whole testimonial on the abchealth.info website. Another one. As a natural microscopist, I have a unique perspective of seeing how any and all changes to me and my clients affect us on a cellular level. The type of change is the ultimate indicator of the positive or negative impact on the body. It shows the basic point that clay and chlorophyll, assuming that we are dealing with the best quality, for the best results are crucial to any and all health concerns, no matter how big or small. Jason F., and there's a lot more that he wrote, and you can read that. You just click on the read the full testimony when you get on the website. The primary benefits of 100% pure zeolite encapsulated calcium bentonite clay. Bentonite clay does not heal or treat anything. It rather has an exceptional quality of facilitating the restoration of your body's magnificent self-healing abilities by completely detoxing your body and restoring balance to your vital systems. The potential benefits are almost all inclusive and certainly far too many to mention. So even the impressive list below represents only the tip of the iceberg. You will also find a more complete list of internal and external uses of the clay further down on this page. First of all, enjoy a new you, free of heavy metals and their devastating effects. Click on devastating effects, it'll open up and tell you all about it and how it works. Protect yourself and your family from the effects of nuclear radiation. Click on it and you'll see how you can detox the body and save your life in the first 10 minutes of a nuclear explosion if you do exactly what you're supposed to do. Next is restore your colon to its ideal state and enjoy endless health benefits. Well, all disease starts in the colon. If your colon is not freely moving, you can see an obvious situation right there, very dangerous, where your organs will all come down sick if your colon is impacted. Now, if it's not impacted and it's freely moving, you might have crystallized plaque along the colon walls that are blocking the nutrition and the live oxygen that comes from your immune system. It's called hydrogen peroxide, passes through the colon wall to detox every cell in your body. And it's very simple to do. All you have to do is know how to do it. Next is lose weight, enjoy increased energy, and more through a natural detox. By the way, this detox does not pass through your blood. So it won't cause heart fibrillations. It won't cause arrhythmias. It won't cause tiredness and sluggishness at all. It pulls it right out of the body, either by drinking it internally or actually taking a bath in it or putting it on topically to relieve whatever broken bones you have. Look and feel better by removing any of your unwanted skin symptoms. Well, it removes every kind of skin symptom. I don't care if it's raised scar tissue, it'll lower it down to the skin. Blisters, burns, you name it. Save money and enjoy life more by reducing pain and swelling naturally. Absolutely. This is what it's good for. Be prepared for a wide range of accidents. Car accidents, gun wounds, stab wounds. You need the bentonite clay. With this one natural remedy is the end of that little slogan there. Here is a testimonial. The many strategies that I have tried have never impacted the high metal levels. My practitioner told me that if I could not get my toxic levels down, that I would most assuredly develop cancer at some point. I ordered the clay and began taking it. My recent hair analysis shows that I have had significant reductions in my heavy metals. Even my homeopathic practitioner was stunned. As she has never seen my levels go anywhere but up, I am so thankful I found the clay. That's Justine. Read the rest of the testimonial. There's a lot more that she had to say. Here's another one. He ruptured a few discs and was in enormous pain. The doctors wanted to operate to fuse his spine. Marion requested 6 weeks of her friend's time. Every day, she put a clay poultice over his entire back. At the end of 6 weeks, X-rays of her friend's spine were normal, and he went back to mountain climbing. It seems logical that the clay can heal bones as well, and yes, it will remove all sports injuries and heal them in one-third the time by bringing the blood right to the area and pulling out the heavy metals, which is all scabs, scar tissues, and it's there in a broken leg from 40 years ago. There's all kinds of scar tissue internally. If you remove the scar tissue by external bentonite clay, you remove the heavy metals, and the man loses his job as the weatherman. He won't be able to feel that feeling anymore every time it's going to rain. And you can read more about that testimony as well. Here's a bunch of testimonies. I'm going to finish up now if you want. Yes.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you give whatever contact information in like the next 30 seconds. Yes, sir.
Well, let me just read off this one list. You can click on all these different things, and you can open up tons of testimonies, general health, autism, injuries, weight loss, hair care, parasites, eyes, clay baths, burns, detox and cleanse and pH, back problems, digestive system, blood pressure and cholesterol, bites, stings, mouth, teeth, gums, hives, rashes, and skin problems, arthritis, and sore joints, and even many pet testimonials. If you go to abchealth.info, That's abchealth.info. If you go there, you'll get a free book by putting in your name and email address. You're going to get back a free book. Go to the bottom of the website. When you get a return email, it'll have exactly what you put in, the extended website, so you can see the entire website and enjoy the book. It'll tell of the history of bentonite clay, which goes back thousands of years, and it's been utilized and forgotten about by modern man. If you understand what I have just begun to speak to you about, you will be amazed when you study more. The more you learn, the more I can teach you, because you'll be ready to learn more. Anyway, my name is Edward, and I do appreciate the time that you've had me on your show, and let's heal. Now, many individuals on your show have already come to me, and I've been working with them, teaching them how to heal themselves and many others. Some of them are very respectful, and we have long conversations, and I help them a great deal. So, and they teach me many things. We come up with all kinds of solutions for every single health condition. It doesn't matter what it is. We can reverse it. It's simple. It's easy. I'll talk to you more about it later. Edward,
thank you, Mr.
again.
Edward.
If they need to call me, it's 818-613-9206. 818-613-9206. Let's solve some of these situations. I don't call them problems. They're all challenges. Let's work on them, and let's make things happen. Let's call up for Reverend Pinckney this week and let him know. Ask him if they got the prosecuting attorney. Ask him if he got his W-9 from the IRS yet to get all his personal tax information, when we turn this around on him and make him have to pay back Reverend Pinckney for the abuse of his time and his losses. So
thank you, Mr. Edward. We really appreciate you. Definitely want to just go on and continue to make sure we can get in as many callers as possible. So I'm going to go to Miss Mary next. She's at area code 678. 678, we have Miss Mary on the line. Welcome to the Pinckney Show.
Well, thank you very much. Monica, right?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
Wonderful. Thank you for allowing me to speak to the audience today. I want to know, first of all, is Reverend Pinckney still on his internet ban?
He is still banned from utilizing his internet, from doing his show, from leaving his house. He is on a tether. He is being treated as a common criminal when they have no evidence and nothing to substantiate this kind of abuse.
Thank you, Monica. I just want to say that a lawyer contacted me. Her name is Robin Yeamans, and she's familiar with Reverend Pinckney, and she did research that she wanted the world to know about. She researched bans, gag orders, and she said that after exhaustive research, even she had other lawyers researching with her, she was not able to find another ban recorded in America like Reverend Pinckney's, who is banned from the internet. She said that that includes child pornography on the internet. The people who've been to prison for child pornography do not have a ban against their using the internet. The people who have gone to prison for bank fraud on the internet do not have a ban against them preventing them from using the internet. The people who have gone to prison for cyber stalking do not have a ban against them to keep them from using the internet. Reverend Pinckney has not gone to prison for election fraud. He did not get accused of doing election fraud on the internet. Yet criminals who have been prosecuted, convicted, and sentenced for internet crimes do not have a ban preventing them from going on the internet. Reverend Pinckney, as far as the research goes so far, is the only American in history who's ever been banned from using the internet. They tried to ban one man. His she gave us his name, S-O-S-S-O-F-S-K-Y. That's S-O-F-S-K-Y. The lower court banned him from using the internet, and I forget whether he was, well, he had been convicted of his crime, and I believe it was kiddie porn, but it could have been bank fraud. He had been convicted, and he was sentenced to being banned from the internet, and he appealed that, and the higher court said, absolutely not. You cannot ban a person from using the internet. A person must be able to map their route to travel. A person must be able to check the weather where they intend to go. A person must be able to communicate and answer their mail. A person must be able to do the things that they can do by internet. It's gotten to be a way of life. You cannot ban this person from the internet. You can ban a person from looking at certain things on the internet. For instance, if you had been convicted of kiddie porn, you would be told that you could not go to any sites that give kiddie porn. If you had been convicted for bank fraud, they could tell you that you couldn't go to financial sites. But as far as this total ban on the internet, it has never been done in the history of the United States except to Reverend Pinckney, a man who has not even been convicted of any crime in association with the internet. It cannot be done. It has not been done. Reverend Pinckney is the very first American who's ever been banned from the internet. And so I just wanted to make sure everybody knew how important Reverend Pinckney is to our struggle. Reverend Pinckney's voice is very important. He wasn't even accused of a crime having to do with the internet. That's like you are accused of stealing an ice cream bar, and they tell you, okay, we're going to put you on trial for stealing the ice cream bar, and by the way, you can't ever dance anymore. That's how related these things are. They just want to put him off the internet. They don't want him to be able to talk to us. I think that his ban has more to do with the boycott against Whirlpool. I think his ban has more to do with his Occupy the PGA. I think his boycott, his ban has more to do with his protesting the murders of young black men in Benton Harbor, Michigan that were not investigated, whereas his petition, his recall petition for the mayor is investigated down to the letter. I don't think that his ban of the internet has anything at all to do with election fraud, so where did it come from? Robin Yeamans, Y-E-A-M-A-N-S, talked to us about this on the radio on Wednesday. Let's see, it was Thursday night. And I ask you to go to my blog, Justice Gagged. That's Justice, J-U-S-T-I-C-E, Gagged, G-A-G-G-E-D. And look for First American banned from the internet, Reverend Pinckney. First American. And I want you to know that this is an attack on free speech. It's not just an attack on Reverend Pinckney. If they get away with banning an activist from the internet, this is not going to end at Reverend Pinckney. They start someplace, but they would like to ban all people who give dissenting voices on the internet. I woke up this morning and my computer had a black space across the top. That means that I was not able to put in the computer where I wanted to do research. You couldn't put Gmail across the top if it's black up there. So I just sit and bought a new computer. But I want you to know that it's not just Reverend Pinckney. It's all activists. They do not want, especially black people, on the internet. I just want you to know that COINTELPRO was a program by the FBI, and it was to do specific things. One of its missions, one of its stated missions, was to keep the status quo. The status quo from 1932 to 1972 is when COINTELPRO was in operation. The status quo at that time, as it is at this time, is white supremacy. Not just white supremacy, my Caucasian friends, but elite supremacy. You're not elite unless you have at least $1 billion. You're not elite if you just have a couple of million. One good hospital stay will wipe you out if you only have a couple of million. You have to have billions before you are elite. So the status quo is elite white supremacy. One of the next operating goal of Contempo was a war against black America. It was against any of the black Americans' freedom movements, including the Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, the Black Liberation Army, and the Black Panther Party. 80% of the COINTELPRO budget was spent on surveilling and disrupting movements for freedom from black people. They also attacked Puerto Ricans, Native Americans, and the war movement, which was largely Caucasian. We remember when four young people were shot dead on Kent State University. So I want you to know COINTELPRO is not above doing actual assassinations of people who are considered dissidents. But Reverend Pinckney, if you listen, I ask you all to go back and listen to some of the tapes from 2 months ago back, when Reverend Pinckney was with us every Sunday, and listen for yourself and see what he talks about. He talks about people uniting. He talks about people only supporting those organizations, those unions, those companies that support us, those politicians who support us. He talks about people uniting across racial and socioeconomic lines to take back our country and to demand accountability. He talks about these things. He does not talk about anything terroristic, but they do not want people to unite for justice. That is exactly what they hope to accomplish by banning this activist, this human rights activist from the internet. As I said, Reverend Pinckney is the first American ever banned from the internet as far as the lawyer's research shows. And again, I urge you all to please go to Justice Gagged, that's JusticeGagged, and just put my name in and make sure you get to the right one. Because what happens is, one of COINTELPRO's tactics is that whatever name I use for my blog, they'll get one of their agents to open up a blog with a similar name, hoping that people would get diverted. Diversion is a tool of COINTELPRO. So put in Justice Gagged Mary Neal, or put in Justice Gagged Reverend Pinckney, P-I-N-K-N-E-Y, and listen to the interview with attorney Robin Yeamans, Robin, Y-E-A-M-A-N-S. I want you to know that she is a dynamite attorney. She is a Caucasian. That's why I know, and I want to tell all of not black people, that everybody who's a Caucasian is not against you. In fact, you need to watch out for some black people who you think are in your corner. This is not a black and white issue. It's not that simple, people. That's what Martin Luther King tried to tell us years ago. He was not only talking to Caucasians when he said, judge not by the color of a man's skin, but judge them by their character. That was not a message only for white people. He was talking to us when he said that. We have a tendency to trust people who are black like us and to distrust people who are Caucasian or Jewish or other cultures. That is wrong. It's wrong from a prejudice standpoint, and it'll get you in trouble, because what your enemies will do is get somebody who looks like you to defraud you. I want you to know that recently 3 laws went to Congress, and these were opportunities to reenact or to uphold mandatory minimums. Now, you know that Maxine Waters and other congressional representatives are telling us, and we know it's true, that mandatory minimums is how you drive mass incarceration. That is to say that you are taking it out of the judge's hands how much time to sentence a person for. The judge has no room to consider extenuating circumstances. If you are found guilty of certain crimes, then they have mandatory minimums. We know that Attorney General Eric Holder has recently come out against mandatory minimums, because mandatory minimums will make people who have done little or nothing stay in jail for at least 10 to 20 years. And so they're trying to get rid of mandatory minimums. But yet we had, I think, 22 members of the Congressional Black Caucus. I said Congressional Black Caucus to get together and vote for three more laws with mandatory minimums attached. So that's how much you can trust people who look like you. I urge you to go to Human Rights for Prisoners March and look for these congressional representatives that you have sent to Congress and see how they're voting. Don't just listen to people come to your church or come to your civic meetings and speak to you. Please be more proactive than that. Go and see how they voted on things that matter. I'm telling you, these black Congress people are the ones who stood behind the law that said crack cocaine gets 100 to 1. In other words, if you're caught with powder cocaine, which Caucasians favor, you might do 1 year in jail. If you're caught with rock cocaine that black people favor, give them 100 years in jail. That was done during the 1986 when the Congressional Black Caucus members were the ones who supported that. That came from black people, these discriminatory bills against blacks. The whites are, they don't have enough nerve to come out with these racially discriminatory measures. They don't have the nerve. They know that we the people would be against it. So they get our own black Congress people to vote against us. And now we have a situation where a black mayor was chosen for Benton Harbor, Michigan, but Reverend Pinckney, his assessment is that this man is working for the corporate interests instead of for the people. That's Reverend Pinckney's assessment of this mayor. So he did a democratic process. He put in a recall petition against this corporate mayor. And that was his right. That is peaceful. We have the right as American citizens to choose who we want in office by voting for them, and we have a right in America to recall traitors that we don't want by recalling them. But this act against Reverend Pinckney is an act against all of us, because it says that all of you, we have these rights written on paper, but we don't freaking mean them. We don't mean them. We don't mean them. They're lies. If you try to really do what we have on paper, then we will arrest you. We will come out to your house with SWAT teams. We will take away your internet privileges, even if what you're accused of is spitting on the sidewalk, because we really don't want black people on the internet. I want you to know that I said it. We really don't want black people on the internet giving an African-American point of view. We don't want people on the internet urging everybody, black, white, red, yellow, to get together and stand for justice. We don't want some of the voices that Reverend Pinckney allows on this show, people who talk about wrongful incarceration, people who talk about dirty business deals that are engaged in by people in high offices. We don't want him warning people about city managers taking over the democratic process in their cities. We don't want people like Lynn Stewart's husband to be on the internet. We don't want to hear these voices. But there's so many businesses that are making multi-billion dollars by selling products on the internet that we don't want to have to shut down the whole internet to keep this other chatter quiet. We don't want to have to shut down the internet because it's useful to put out disinformation that we want to reach the people. We don't want the internet shut down because we want them to buy the shoes, the clothes, the cars that we sell on the internet. So what are we going to do about it? Well, what we're going to do about it is try to find a way to shut down the dissidents without shutting down internet business and the politics that we want to get through. And so this is what they're trying to do, ladies and gentlemen, and they began with Reverend Pinckney. I want everybody to please, no matter whether you ever heard this man speak or not, no matter whether you agree with this message or not. I want you to say to yourself that I may not agree with what you say, but I will fight with my life for your right to say it. That was said by a great man a long time ago, and it must be our stance today. Because if they shut down freedom of press and freedom of speech for any one of us, they can shut it down for us all. And with that, I want to thank you, Monica. I want to urge people again to go to Justice Gag. Listen to the lawyer tell you how unprecedented this ban is against Reverend Pinckney, and not only him, but his wife. Reverend Pinckney has not been convicted of any crime, but his wife has not even been accused of any crime, and she is included in the ban. She cannot use the Internet from their home. Now, what kind of mess is that? So I want you to know that this is unprecedented, and it's wrong, and it is not only a blow to the Pinckneys, but it is a blow to freedom of press. Thank you, Monica.
Thank you. Appreciate you so much, Ms. Mary. And we definitely appreciate you educating us about what is the tie bar of what's happening with Reverend Pinckney, and then what is going on a national assault against activists and revolutionary figures all across this country. It is so important that we continue to connect with this show. We continue to connect people to the show. You know, many of you have email lists. You have people you're connected with. Have them call in. We've got to build a force in terms of support and unity. We must fight and unite or we will die. And so we want to definitely encourage ourselves from the standpoint of that we shall live and not die. But we've got to make sure people are plugged in because the lack of information is powerful. And it has become a
absolutely
tool and a reason.
Can I just say one thing? I heard you say that water is a human right. I want you to know that the United Nations recently proclaimed, I think I read it last year, that Internet usage is a human right. That was by the United Nations. I ask you to go online and look up UN. Internet access is a human right. And know that Reverend Pinckney and his wife have been deprived of a human right. And they're the first ones in America to suffer under this type of persecution.
Thank you. We're going to now go to Ms. Gloria, and you're calling in from area code 610.
Yes, good afternoon, Monica. Greetings, everyone. We had a wonderful time last weekend in Benton Harbor. We were happy to come out and participate in any way we possibly could, and we just enjoyed ourselves. And if more people, we were so blessed by that, that my word is if other people would get involved with other things, we have this. We have it. Now, I did a little research because I thought, you know, people are acting odd. They're really acting strange. But this comes back. This goes a long way back. This didn't happen just last year when Obama came into office. So this is one of the pieces to the puzzle. How Bush's grandfather helped Hitler's rise to power. Rumors of a link between the U.S. First Family and the Nazi war machine have circulated for decades. Now the Guardian can reveal how repercussions of events accumulated in action under the Trading with the Enemy Act are still being felt by today's president. Now mind, this was written in 2004 when Bush was in office. George Bush's grandfather, the late U.S. Senator Prescott Bush, was involved with the financial architects of Nazism. His business dealings, which continued until his company's assets were seized in 1942 under the Trading with the Enemy Act, has led more than 60 years to a civil action for damages being brought in Germany against the Bush family by two former slave laborers at Auschwitz, that was the camp, the concentration camp, and to the hum of pre-election controversy. The evidence has also prompted one former U.S. Nazi war crimes prosecutor to argue that the late senator's action should have been grounds for prosecution for giving aid and comfort to the enemy. The debate over Prescott's behavior has been bubbling under the surface for some time. There has been a steady internet chatter about the Bush/Nazi connection. Much of it is inaccurate and unfair, but the new documents, many of which were only declassified last year, which is 2003, show that even after America had entered the war and when there was already significant information about the Nazis' plans and policies, he worked for and profited from companies closely involved in the very German businesses that financed Hitler's rise to power. It has also been suggested that the money he made from these dealings helped to establish the Bush family fortune and set up its political dynasty. So, thank you for listening, and you can find this on The Guardian, theguardian.com, and there's more information to be revealed, and you'll see other companies from America that was involved with Hitler's rise, so maybe there's some correlation there. Thank you for listening. Peace to all. Reverend Pinckney, free the land.
Thanks so much, Gloria. We appreciate you. You're definitely a wealth of knowledge and just such a phenomenal scholar. And I definitely know we appreciate getting information. I call it some news that we can use. And so Reverend Pinckney and the Pinckney to Pinckney show has just been such a cornerstone of activists from all over the nation being able to come together to report out on a community level, to be accountable that there are people resisting this tyranny, that we're not just sitting idly by, sitting on our hands, taking this, that we are fighting back. And so we definitely just want to continue to get as many callers in as possible. I have next on the line from area code 330. We have Ms. Dorothy. Welcome to the Pinckney to Pinckney show.
Hey, thank you very much. I'm going to kind of be all over the place, so just bear with me, if you will. And
yes, ma'am.
I was an Air Force officer and commander in the United States military, Air Force. However, and no disrespect to the good men and women who served honorably, but what I witnessed, because I didn't want to go into the military, my life was collapsed in college, and I was pretty much forced to go into the military. While in the military, with a law enforcement background, I was witnessing what would become the sexual grooming and conditioning of good and decent Americans, often many of them, this is the 80 time frame, 80s, 90s, many of them were Catholics. Now, these were the same Catholics that for 38 years, Cardinal Ratzinger, who would go on become the Pope, Pope Benedict, would, in their own communities, had conservative Catholics, those are the New World Order, Old World Order guys, working at the city level in all different communities that were manipulating these children throughout their lives and would then subjugate them into the military. When in the military, they were virtually tortured with what would become electroshock boxes known as the bitch box, waterboarding. This is the 1980s again. This is well before the enhanced interrogation techniques that the second Bush administration would say. These tortures included severe public humiliation, drugging, raping, ritual torture and abuse, on and on, would virtually be breaking down these individuals who were the good and decent kids in your communities. These were blacks, these were whites, these were Puerto Ricans, these were the entire mix that Dr. King talked about. This was the targeted group. And they were systematically broken down. And in the VA, for now over 22 years that I have witnessed, these same people have been radically abused, severely traumatized by the same enterprise that was working throughout our communities as children, throughout our military and into the VA, where those who are perpetrators in the doctors, the counselors, and I've reported all these crimes when I was in the military, and all the records were never documented because those who were in the lead positions were the predators. And they were cops and criminal investigators. They were the highest ranking among them. They were known in the military as command barstoolers, the Air Force. You had the command tail hookers. There's an Army equivalent, a Coast Guard equivalent, and a Navy equivalent, and a Marine equivalent. The point being is that not all people in our services are bad. But these people traumatized people, broke them down, and even had the investigative friends to stop all investigations. Now, I have been systematically brutalized when, in high school, I was a leader. I was varsity sports. I put together friends going out and singing for free Christmas carols to people all over our neighborhoods. I believed in my country, and I still do, but I do not believe in the criminal abuse of human beings to shatter them, to then use and turn their own anguish, pain, and degradation against them, denying them the right to safety. And this is one of the first primary things that all people have a right to have, safety to recover. Because you see, all TIs that are talking, they have the same typical abuse system. They attack your friends. They attack your family. They attack your right to work. They attack your communication. They attack your health. They attack your psychological. This is the total person concept. Attack them in every way. Now, let me tell you, when I was in Germany, this is what Hitler had left behind in Germany. It wasn't just the Jews that were put in those camps. It was anybody who refused to witness as other good human beings were being brutalized, bullied, and systematically murdered. Those good and decent people who said enough is enough were the ones who were put in the labor dissident camps. Now, they began peacefully, ladies and gentlemen. But let me ask you, from an eyewitness, I have, in fact, two advanced degrees. When I was at the VA, 1993 all the way up to 2012, speaking about, reporting the criminal abuse in which those victims, like myself, who were reporting our rapes, one and her husband would nearly be suicided in a carbon monoxide accident in which their neighbor died. Within 3 months of that, in which all three of us had reported the systematic abuse to the director of the VA of Dayton, 1998, and within 6 months of this woman nearly dying at carbon monoxide poisoning, my partner was found dead, and I was told, shut your mouth about the military rapes or we will have you next. That's called being suicided, folks. Where did it come out of? Presidents since at least Roosevelt had these people. Nixon called them the plumbers. They are people who are now employed in every industry across our country that when you come in, they come into your homes, you may or may not walk out when they do. And the police don't want to even get involved because there was no breaking and entering. I have a right to recover. I have a right to be able to think independently and not be shattered. I didn't volunteer for this program, folks. And these people have attempted to not just get me into political office where I would have been used as a political puppet, not having really any of my own amazing concepts and thoughts of truly healing this nation and putting us all back to work. But the fact is, is that then, when I wouldn't go along with what they did to me, I was then repeatedly brutalized through the VA and in my own home, using technology, people breaking in, breaking things that were very priceless and dear to me, and stealing and changing my documentation. Now, how did this end? I have been stuck in my childhood home virtually for 4 years because of death threats to my face. Now, for those who are veterans, please know your internet is compromised. The megadata is much bigger than what even Snowden's talking about because it's been collected since at least 1995. So for anyone who began speaking out to say, we did not have a right to be raped, we did not have a right to be put into sexual slavery, as those who have destroyed our right to work, which was a constitutional right, that you have a right to use your skills in a safe environment. And I have repeatedly witnessed this of myself and others, and I've taken testimony. I've gone to our courts peacefully requesting to be addressed and to have these things addressed legally in solutions and resolutions. I did not become hurt, angry, and obsessed until and through and by the repeated, deliberate, ongoing, malicious, vicious, and even murdering organized criminal trauma networks that have operated in this country since the time of FDR in this whole godforsaken system. Who's left standing? These people are destroying the good and decent people. And what Miss Mary said, hallelujah to that. What Miss Gloria said, she's right on the research equipment. The information true is that they are turning good and decent minority people against each other. And they've set it all up because when I was in the military, I tried to get my MBA, Masters of Business Administration. They didn't let me get that degree. In fact, they told me it was not going to happen because they were canceling it. Because what they do under the issues of capitalism is they bring in those who are criminally corrupt into every walk of life. They find where the rules are. They come up with the next scam, which is the housing market or, you know, baby buying or a new version of pornography or God knows whatever else. The bank industry, Enron, WorldCom, Tyco, Chrysler, they come up with them. And the lawyers or liars set up all the rules. So if you have been wiped out of a bunch of your money, which is filled into their pockets, you don't get it back because you haven't met their threshold. It's a scam, folks. The whole thing's a shoot and match and a scam. And they are targeting good and decent people. And I've lived it. And I'm not interested in becoming violent to anybody, but I am not going to sit by as my life is totally destroyed. They're using pharmaceuticals. Go check out cchr.org. And please know, I know that there are good and decent military members. I got to work with some of the finest. But for God's sakes, with what they did to so many of the good and decent people, this is why our veterans are dying at major issues. And please know I'm out of the state of Ohio, the city of Cuyahoga Falls, and I am here and I'm not going away. And if they kill me, please let you all know that they're killed me because I'm telling the truth. It is my obligation. This isn't whistleblowing. This is an obligation.
That's right.
It is our right to protect our children. If you wanted to sign up for the military, if you wanted to go through their little special programs, you had a right, but no church who is run by man, woman, or anything in between is my God, has a right to rape me, abuse me, and get immunity through a president that wouldn't even stand up against torture of other human beings, to include our veterans. And I have repeatedly, since 1998, reported these criminal abuses only to see myself and other veterans be intentionally, deliberately attempted kills. I'm Dorothy Mackey. You want someone to also help run this thing? Let's do it. I'm not going away. I have been through this for at least 30 years, and I support anyone who's a good human being, but I am done with these criminal elements. Have a great day.
Thank you, Ms. Dorothy. Definitely appreciate just your courage and your heroism, not only as a military person, but just as an American and a human being. I definitely know that what you shared with us, you are definitely risking your life to share, but I know it's important work. I know that many of you take a lot of risk in coming on the airways and reporting out about what egregious acts are happening and how people's lives, very lives, are being threatened. That's why I thought it was important today to share with you about Charity Hicks here in Detroit, who was mysteriously hit by a car while she was attending a conference in New York. Charity is a scholar. She is a phenomenal figure around the issue of food and water justice. And she, a couple of weeks ago, was actually accosted by a contractor that was there to cut off the water for a whole block. And what is happening here in Detroit is you're looking at about 3,000 people per week being just cut off from water with no notices, no due process in terms of being able to see what they can work out. There's actually a fund. There's an ordinance on the books that states the Water Affordability Act, which has been on the books since 2006, which obligates the water department to at least commit $5 million toward being able to help people make some kind of payment plan for their water plan, for their water payment. And then it also provides them with some other services because each customer must pay $1 a month for over the course of 12 months, $12, into that fund. So every customer is contributing as well to the fund. And then those dollars have now mysteriously come under the control of DTE, which already is a conglomerate in itself in terms of controlling political power here in Detroit. So we just find all of this very interesting, very similar to what's happening in Benton Harbor with Reverend Pinckney and Whirlpool, and that corporate strangulation of the people's rights and democracy, and how it is trying to infuse itself in the governance in such a way where we will not have a voice. And so I want to just applaud everyone that's on the line that has the courage to speak up. We're going to now go to area code 205, and I have Sahara on the line. Sahara, welcome to the Pinckney the Pinckney Show. Sahara? Sahara? Sahara, you're live on the Pinckney the Pinckney Show.
Yeah, always.
Pinckney strikes again. Oh, you saw that car?
No, I didn't read about that.
We're on area code 205.
We're on the other side.
And you're live on the Pinckney to Pinckney Show.
Can you hear me now?
I can. Thanks so much.
Oh, sure. I don't know what all that interference was. It wasn't from anywhere I could see, but who knows what was going on.
Yeah, it's a similar area code, but I got you now. So can you update us as to how you are and what's happening with you?
Yes, I'm leaving on good terms with my mom, which I'm very, very, very happy about. And I'm planning to leave on Thursday, June 5th, to drive out to California. And things do seem to be settling down since I last, I think, talking on the radio about what happened with the, how the organized stalking by vehicle was flaring up. It's probably helped it to go back down to where the last three times at least in a row that I've driven outside, I've not had any obvious signs of being harassed on the road or anything like that. So it's felt a lot safer. and so I'm feeling a lot, you know, less stressed and anxious about the actual, you know, logistical driving. And today I prepared to read, it won't be more than about 4 to 5 minutes, an original note that I published to Snow Yolk originally in 2012 about an experience that my mom and I both had when we were both apparently being targeted at that time several years ago in New York City.
Wow.
Wow. Today is Sunday, June 1st, 2014. I will read the first part of an original note that I published to the Snow Yolk Notes section on August 6, 2012. Something that happened some years ago in New York City. A car with a pair of men pulled over my mom and me. She was driving and was in the city for a conference as a CDCP, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention representative. I'll make a quick note that I believe at that time it was just called CDC for Centers for Disease Control. My mom is less inclined to think about and discuss such events, but recently she decided that she's willing for me to share with the public what happened. I don't remember right now if the car was marked as an NYPD car, but I don't think it was. That is, I do not think it was. There was a red flashing siren that the men used, but it made no sound. We believe they were either not real police officers or were not acting in an official capacity. They pointed to a nearby gas station and accused us of dropping off a man at the station. They said he's a known criminal. We had no idea what they were talking about, but they gave us the creeps. When they saw my mom's CDCP badge, they looked at each other and hesitated. My mom sped away, and they did not try to follow. Back at the hotel, I awoke to the sound of what I thought were my mom's bangles, bracelets that jingle, and a maternal presence brushing my hair with her hand. It was an angel. I have not seen this angel otherwise to my knowledge. Now, that was as of then in 2012. Actually, I have seen her since then, editorial note, as of today, June 1st, 2014. But I've continually tried to determine which angel she was. This year, the name Andromeda came to me as her name. That was in 2012. Therefore, I looked online and found a relevant link at DonnaLouiseFaber.com. That's spelled Donna, DonnaLouiseFaber.com. There is described a guardian angel named Andromeda, surrounded by purple, my lifelong favorite color, and white, as was the angel I saw, and there is even mention that twin doves of peace, this is a quote, twin doves of peace hover over each of her hands, end quote. I think that could account for the sound of jingling around her wrist, but I could not get as good a look at her as I would have liked due to the extreme brightness of the light enveloping her. Unfortunately, so far as of then, August 6, 2012, I had not been able to find anything else about this guardian angel. This question still applies. If anyone knows or intuits anything about her, please share. It is not the only visitation by a supernatural being that I have experienced, but as of August 6, 2012, it had not been a frequent occurrence for me to see a heavenly guardian angel either. Unfortunately, more commonly, I saw non-heavenly entities. I think this might have been partly because I said a prayer a while before asking not to see supernatural beings. I suspect only the heavenly variety honored my prayer request. Thus, I was in the process of changing the prayer. As of then, August 6, 2012, the note to Snowy Oak on Facebook, facebook.com/SNOEOAWC. I was more open to and experiencing of clairaudience, extrasensory hearing. That is versus clairvoyance, extrasensory seeing. It is important to discern clairaudience from other possibilities, including that of the covert projection of sound by perpetrators. Finally, I'd like to say, in honor of Maya Angelou, with whom I had the privilege to speak in person and to whom my most recent post to Snowy Oak is dedicated, that she has been an inspiration and will never be forgotten. Thank you, and I look forward to being here with you next week.
Thank you, Sahara, and our peace and love go with you. Thank you for your courage and all that you do to keep us informed. I know that you are taking risks, and we definitely don't take that lightly. We know that all of the revolutionary personalities that call into this phone line and activists and community leaders, all that you do is really for us to have our right to be heard, to be able to participate in part of the democratic process, to have our voting rights protected, all of our civil liberties protected. And so we definitely appreciate you. We're going to try to get Roz in, and she's calling in from area code 818. And so we hope that this is correct. Roz, welcome to the Pinckney to Pinckney show. And this is Monica sitting in for Reverend Pinckney. Roz, are you there? This is the Pinckney to Pinckney show. Okay, we're going to continue on. This is the Pinckney to Pinckney show. You're live. Hello? This is Monica sitting in for Reverend Pinckney. You're live on the Pinckney to Pinckney show. Okay, we're going to continue on. This is 330. You're live on the Pinckney to Pinckney show. This is Monica sitting in for Reverend Pinckney.
Hey, this is Reverend Dorothy.
Reverend Dorothy. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, how are you? I've already spoken. I don't have a problem.
All right.
You can if you want, but just let you know.
Okay. I definitely want to try to get in as many as I can.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks so much. Thank you for staying with us. Let me see, 205, you're live on the Pinckney to Pinckney show. That's 704, area code 704, you're live on the Pinckney to Pinckney show. Yes, area code 704. Okay. We're going to just continue on with talking about what is happening on the national level and also the connection to what's going on here in Benton Harbor and in Michigan and here in Detroit as well with this assault on democracy and the fact that Reverend Pinckney is a perfect example of how the state of Michigan, under the leadership of this Republican governor, is attempting to silence any activism that is counter corporate interest. And much of what Reverend Pinckney is doing in terms of his stance against the assault on voting rights, his heroism in terms of making sure that the interests of Benton Harborites are protected in their ability to be able to address their government. Ms. Mary brought up very eloquently his ability to be able to utilize the Internet, what a violation of his freedom of speech and ability to communicate. We're praying that all of these issues become national issues so that we can garner more support, more legal thrust, more community organizing. We must resist what is happening and really lift up Reverend Pinckney as an example of the heroism and leadership that we need in this hour. I definitely want to make sure that we don't miss this opportunity to also just talk about the importance of what is happening in Detroit with this water issue. It is truly a human rights issue when you talk about the fact that in Detroit, over 120,000 households will be denied water. And that will make a major impact on the community because when you're denied water, that means that you can't take your medicine. That means that you can't cook or prepare your food. That means that hygiene issues and sanitation issues become a prevalent kind of circumstance for a community. Right now in Detroit, we don't have a health department that is operating. Our health department was given away to a private interest group that calls themselves IPH, Institute for the Population of Public Health. And it really is really nothing more than a nonprofit way to commandeer public dollars and set it aside with private interest. And so you've got that happening when in the public arena, you've got local communities and federal and state and local business owners that haven't paid their fair share. I mean, let me give you an example. You've got in the city of Detroit, the public golf course at Palmer Park owes $422,295 in unpaid water bills. You've got the VA hospital, which owes $131,096.28 in unpaid water bills in the city of Detroit. You also have Eastern Market, which is our understanding they ran real quick when we started reporting this to the community, that they owed somewhere in the ballpark of about $80,000 in unpaid water bills. And then you compound that with also the fact that the Sierra Club was able to garner some information where you have about $19,852,792.83 in outstanding commercial accounts. And then you have an additional half of the city in industrial accounts, which are delinquent. I think you have 869 out of 1,588 accounts. That equates to about $9,400,807 that is delinquent in corporate industrial accounts. So if those people would just pay what they owe, and then the monies that have been set aside, there should be no reason that you are cutting off people from water. But this is the most egregious point that I see in all of this, is that this will allow them to actually take people's children from them. If this is allowed to stand and nobody resists what is happening in Detroit with not only the assault on pensions and the assault on education and the assault on workers and health care and all of those things, voting rights, but when you start coming after people's children and the ability to take them and enslave them under the auspices of the state of Michigan's protective services, when you're able to house them, you can almost assure that a significant number of those children are going to be moved into the criminal pipeline if they are allowed to just sort of simmer there in a place that is not feeding and nurturing and doesn't give them the comforts of home and family and culture and community. And so I would wager that if we are not careful, we will see the regional kinds of enslavement of a people that we have not seen in America since the encampment of what they started rounding up after 9/11 in the Arab community. And then since then, we had not seen that since the rounding up that we saw in the 60s and then also what we saw with the Japanese encampment. You know, we had not seen those but a few times on this soil. But I would wager that you're going to see massive numbers like that if we don't fight back for what is happening to Reverend Pinckney, if we don't organize around what is happening here in Detroit with water, if we don't begin to see ourselves as a collective of the greater good that can happen when people will unite and fight. And some people take that term of fighting in a negative connotation. I believe there are different ways of fighting. And I know I'm not a military person, but I come from a military family. And so we understand very clearly what strategy means what it means that you have to do what is in the best interest of the whole. You know, military families operate like the military a lot of times should when it's at its best, is that you do what is the collective best interest of the whole. And so I just really commend Charity Hicks for her fight. We're going to continue to pray for her and lift her up. We're also going to continue to lift up Reverend Pinckney and make sure his story gets told, that we're supporting him. We're asking people to send their donations to 1940 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Again, send your contributions to 1940 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Also, if there's anything that you're aware of that can be of support to Reverend Pinckney, I'm sure he would appreciate that information. If there are any legal minds that could be of support to him right now, I'm sure he would appreciate that as well. This is just a this is an uphill fight, but I tell you, I don't know of a stronger, more resilient personality. I don't know of a person more prepared to lead in this hour than Reverend Pinckney. He's a God man. He is a trusted steward of the community's trust. He is a fearless revolutionary mind in terms of understanding the greater good of humanity and how all of that has to be lifted up. He is definitely courageous and fearless in this hour because he knows that he's up against evil, but he knows, too, that evil can never stand against righteousness. And so I just really appreciate Reverend Pinckney, and I can't say enough either about Mother Dorothy Pinckney and what she represents in terms of strength and a partner and a revolutionary quiet storm in herself. She's a prayer warrior, definitely there cheering him on, praying him through, being that supportive helpmeet. We're going to go to area code 612. You're on the Pinckney to Pinckney show, and this is Monica. You're live. Code 612.
Hi, Monica.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, and great talking to you again here today. Well, as everyone knows across the country, there are so many different strategies that the Nazis have put in place, those people who are corporate America, the billionaires, and their entities who want to gather up all of the children. And so when you mention this move about child protection moving in on these children in Detroit, Michigan, as soon as the people's water is turned off and they become rendered homeless because they can't stay in the places that they're staying in, when their residents become unlivable, there's a roundup going to be, and I can just about tell you where the next move will be. They won't be in Michigan anymore. Those children will be transported all over this nation into people's homes to serve as foster children, and we know that every foster parent is not a bad foster parent. Every foster parent is not a good foster parent. But we do know
that's
one
right thing.
There's a concerted effort to take all of these little children now, particularly African-American children, as it always has been, out of the home, putting them someplace else where they become broken, where they become unable to cope with life. And then, like you said, many of them will go into the pipeline, to the penitentiary, just as the book says, the new Jim Crow, and it's just evil.
Well, you're exactly correct. I mean, everything you're saying is so on point because we are very clear, and I think that that's part of why it's so important that people like yourself call in and add to this dialogue, because you know firsthand what you've witnessed and what you've seen, and there's nothing like personal testimony of what's really happening on the ground, you know, not in classrooms, not in books, but what's really going down at the community level.
Over the last year and a half, I have been working with Dorothy Dunning to try to help her get her two granddaughters out of foster care. Something has happened that has caused that to be dead on arrival in the courts. When we went back to do some legislation, there were all kinds of blocks there. And then I recently met a man who said the Minnesota Supreme Court ruled that he could get his two children. And he said he doesn't have them yet, and that was 4 years ago. So what that tells us is one thing. These rules and laws, as we have always known, many of us, even back in the 60s and 70s when we went through the civil rights movement, is these laws are meant for one thing, for white supremacists to do whatever they choose to do to our people, to abuse and oppress our people in any way that they can. They don't even follow their own laws when it comes to us. There's
That's
always
right.
a difference
That's
in
right.
the perimeters. And so when we talk about even doing legislation, and I understand the frustration of our sister there, Dorothy, who was in the military, it is the same kind of thing, is that at some point people do become frustrated about that when you try to go through the legal procedures and processes, and yet people still do what they want to do, and they won't even follow their own laws. And that's the place we are in America right now. And so the best thing that we can do is to talk about it, to share information, to organize, and to try and extend this olive branch to our younger generation of people so that they understand what's going on. And prayer, for sure. Pray, pray, pray. Because the devil, that evil spirit that's roaming around, will never, never win. Good will win, even though it seems like we're not winning when you have people in Detroit without water. That ought to call out. That ought to be a national call out to Washington, D.C. right there. There ought to be intervention on that level.
That's right.
These are wicked, evil moves. Terrorism against your own people, that's what it is, on a humane level.
I have to go back to one of our great ancestors, Paul Robeson, when he talked about, you know, we charge genocide. We charge genocide. This is beyond gentrification and city planning and ways to reinvigorate and infuse money into a community. This is about replacing and actually exterminating a body
right.
of people. You know, and
right.
so, you know, we have to charge genocide in this moment when you're talking about denying people water, and you look at the demographics of the city of Detroit, there is a large portion, over 40% of Detroiters have some kind of condition either with their heart, blood pressure, or on some form of dialysis. That's a significant body, you know, and so you're going to deny that population water.
Health.
And people are already in the dark because our lighting system has been assaulted.
Oh, wow.
But I just, you know, I appreciate the fact that what you talk about is really poignant, is that we've got to continue to unite. We've got to continue to talk about and give the facts to people so that they're making educated, organizing decisions, because nobody's going to come save us. We are the people that we've been looking for. We are the leadership we've been looking for, and we've got to look to each other in terms of our support and our help and organizing and building a coalition all across this country, because I really believe the bottom is getting ready to come from under all of us in a significant way. And I know in the past when we've just had, you know, small stints of no electricity, it's been devastating. But I believe these
right.
people are not beyond implementing and infusing just massive devastation to the levels of what happened in Katrina in New Orleans, just to eliminate people and remove them from particular territory.
Oh, absolutely. And we know across the world that is the critical pivotal piece, is to move the people, I don't care who the people are, from the waterways, get them off of the coastal areas, so that whomever these cult powers that be can take that and use that in and out access to the waterways. And some of us were talking to Dick Gregory a couple of weeks ago, and wow, we were given some, it was just extraordinary information. When you talk about the bottom being ready to fall out, if you Google it online or Bing it, whatever search engine you use, you can see that bankers across the world are beginning to do what they did here in the Great Depression. They're committing suicide. And this is a world matter. This is not just a America matter. And so if these people are starting to commit suicide, we know what's going on. And just as
well,
an
and
FYI,
that's why there's a blackout. It's such a
yes.
blackout of information. You know, if they would tell even what happened, what was it in Korea a couple of weeks ago, where the leader of the Samsung Union, he
yes.
actually, as an act of heroism, he committed suicide to send a national message out, international message, that union workers were being abused and enslaved and mistreated. And so when he actually had his body declared, he wanted it to remain in a state until there was a certain change in the leadership and the treatment of workers. And what the police did is that the fact that his body was still in that hospital, and it was only like maybe 3.6 miles away from where the Samsung plant was, workers were galvanizing and organizing around the hospital as a visual. And it became so powerful that the government came in and snatched his dead body away from his parents and took the body to another local, to the family's hometown, which was hours away. And they talked about how symbolic it was that he, you know, and we know based on our faith, we don't identify with so much suicide for some of us. But at the same time, you could see when you could get so desperate that you feel as though you don't have any other recourse
yes.
and to do something like that to send a message.
Exactly. And that's what's starting to happen right now, is that people on very high levels who have some humanity left in them are doing some things like that to cause attention. Or things are so bad with some of the evil ones that the evil ones are saying, I'm not going to deal with this. I'm out of here. I'm not going to take any responsibility for this world blank that's going to happen around here. And, you know, if we look at it, and one of the key critical pieces, which I was glad to get this information, when the banks get taken over, when they go in, take over the banks, whatever is in that bank, your money, as well as what we have in those safe deposit boxes, it becomes what belongs to them now. So everybody just think about that, what you put in your safe deposit boxes and what you want out of them and all that good stuff, because it's coming pretty quickly here.
Well, I don't know about what state you're in, but I know here in Michigan and in 22 other states, they're actually moving pretty swiftly with getting approval for a ratification of the Constitution. And Democrats and Republicans both are lining up with this change, which makes me very concerned, because I haven't seen, I know at least here in Michigan, the kind of leadership on either side of the aisle that would make me entrust either side with the ability to tamper with the Constitution at this point.
Absolutely. Everything is coming into alignment with those that are very wealthy. And that's
exactly
what's happening. That they're going to be Democrats and Republicans. It's not just working together to create whatever it is to mess over the middle class people, the poor people, anybody who's not wealthy, and the, what do you call it, law enforcement, are all very well intertwined with taking care of the billionaires. They no longer, just like our government, no longer belongs to the people at this point. It belongs to some other entity that's out there. And that entity is not a good entity. And people like the young lady, Shahara, that was talking about this move of these people that were coming in to try to, they have all kinds of scams and people pretending to be policemen to come in and take a look at what's this and what's that. And, yes, you have to be very, very cautious of that. I mean, wherever I am now, law enforcement is stalking me. And it's like,
right.
Well, the only reason you have to be stalking me is because I'm a community activist and because I'm a person who tells the truth and I have information here that I'm easily sharing with other people. It all started for me when Mrs. Dunning's children were not given to her at the Supreme Court. The day of the Supreme Court deal, it's just, they were just all around me. It's like, wow, what is this all about?
Right.
Every
right.
stoplight I've been to, I'm just driving around, and the best thing a person can do is just to try to get other people around them to support them and to talk with them, because this behavior is quite, it's meant to be quite, well, it is harassment by the government and harassment by your local law enforcement people, and I don't know. I'd like to do something legal to deal with them stalking you, and that's
right.
what people should do. I think it's to file complaints against that sort of behavior with the mayor and the city.
But don't you think it's power, in at least collective power, in us sharing this information and us getting this word out so that more people are educated? Yes. Could you speak to that a little
right.
bit, please?
Well, the thing is once you become a person who tells the truth, like the many others that talked today right before me, there's this stalking activity and this threatening behavior of, we're going to do this to you. I've had officers drive up to me and say, we're going to get you. Look over at me and say that. Young white men, so far mine have all been white men, which lets me know that there's a Nazi movement that's around here that's, you know, participating in this stalking and harassment of myself. Now, that's certainly
right.
not to say that the black necks aren't in with them. I know that blacks are part of the problem, those who are in some power sometimes, because they will not stand for what is right with other black people, and they are given orders to go in and to try to destroy that individual economically or destroy that individual any kind of way they can and be participated. And I do know that unless it wasn't the Willie Lynch syndrome, that none of this could take place. We would not be at this point here today if people did stand together. And we do have some that are in our own culture that are so dangerous to us. Far more dangerous than the Nazis, because we know where the Nazis stand.
That's right.
And so we have to, I think, keep organizing. And I say, everybody, get people around you that are like-minded and that are willing to listen to you, even some of the youth. When these policemen and law enforcement continue to stalk you, and just like I think it was, one of the sisters talked about, Mary, I believe it was, how they do your computer. I don't even have a computer right now because mine just like, they crashed it. It was just like, boom, I kept taking it to the shop, finally it's just dead and gone. And so, yeah, you have all of that old COINTELPRO stuff. And I knew it was getting messed with, you know, years and years and years ago. But it didn't bother me because I don't do anything illegal, wasn't doing anything illegal. So what I do on my computer is my business, which is usually organizing and trying to help the people.
That's right.
They try to really get into that. And I was really happy to hear that no one else except Reverend Pinckney had been banned from the Internet. However, I believe I heard there were some bills going on in Congress right now in Washington, D.C., where they were, and I believe it was defeated, where they were trying to do some kind of special pricing if people visit certain kinds of Internet sites and that sort of thing.
Right.
And I'd like, if someone knows about that, talk a little bit about that, too. But I think it was defeated. And, I mean, that was just like writing is on the wall. So we know who would be charge more.
Well, what they were going to do is they were appealing to the FCC to be able to gain access to be able to price where they would have, it would be like you're driving down a three-lane highway and they put in a fourth lane, but you can pay $50 a month to ride in this express lane. And that's what they wanted to do. But what we saw it as from the people's standpoint is that it was a way for them to get a foothold in to eventually privatize and totally commercialize access to the Internet.
Okay, great. It was defeated, is that correct?
Well, the last part that I heard is that the vote was halted for some further investigation. They wanted to look at, you know, have some
research. That means they're going to try to, okay, so that means they're going to try to sneak it in somewhere else where nobody notices it. That's
or come back with some flawed research and decide that it has to be done. So we just got to be vigilant on every front.
I hope some of the techies are out there helping us on that to, you know, really the strategy might be to have someone just bird dog that particular piece. If there's a techie out there listening to our shows and stuff, follow that and make sure, see where that goes. That is critical because a person like Mary or any of us that are on these lines here talking and people that are technologically savvy, if we don't have access to the media in that way, it's going to make it more difficult. But one of my things and strategies is this. We really ought to be in a think tank somewhere right now figuring out ways in which we can do some alternative kinds of communications because some things are coming that are going to be very, very difficult for us to handle.
Well, I know that there's definitely some folks having that conversation right now as we speak, and so I'm hoping that we'll be able to share something maybe through Reverend Pinckney's contacts for that to happen and happen soon.
Wonderful. And how is Reverend Pinckney, how did his case started, I understand?
Yes, he actually went to court on the 30th. His spirits are high. He had me report out at the top of the show that that they have no evidence directly or indirectly that proves that Reverend Pinckney did anything wrong, that it was questionable the fact that they called and subpoenaed at least 20 to 25 witnesses, but none of those persons actually signed a petition. So these were people that they had just sort of rallied together that I guess were going to testify to the fact that they had been talked to. But all of it couldn't be any more than something contrived. But he's elated. He feels as though he's going to be totally vindicated. He wants everybody to continue to help him stay vigilant. I would encourage people to continue to contribute when they can to 1940 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. That is for those that would like to contribute and make a contribution. You can send that to 1940 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022.
And one final question. Can you tell us, and I don't know if you can or not, if at some point these people that have done this will be held accountable for this? And number two, the judge's name, we really ought to know, keep that judge out there who has done this and figure out another person to do some research on that. Judge who?
The judge's name that I have is Judge DeWayne. And he is the judge that is connected to Reverend Pinckney's case. And the phone number I have for him is 269-983-7111, extension 8764. And that is Judge DeWayne. And so that's another
complete name of Judge DeWayne, because the reason I'm asking this is where is Judge DeWayne's connection to him censoring Reverend Pinckney off of the internet, based upon what the lady said at the top, Mary there, that lawyer that had done that research. What is it that caused Judge DeWayne to take him off the internet? Was it to stop the recall of the election? And is Judge DeWayne tied to Whirlpool in some kind of financial way? What is the deal on that?
I think all of those are excellent questions, and I know that I can ask Reverend Pinckney if he's aware, and then also maybe see if he's not. I know that myself, along with a couple other folks that do research, can try to dig deeper into that particular perspective and pull up the judge's record.
So how did you get this? How did they get to that point of just taking them off the internet, saying you can't be on the internet?
I think it was censorship at every level, because you got to remember, you know, Benton Harbor is pretty much isolated from the rest of Michigan, and it definitely is Reverend Pinckney's story, and his ability to tell his story has been powerful. People like Rachel Maddow and Ed Schultz have picked him up in the past, and I think they really wanted to kill any ability for him to be able to communicate and to tell his own story. I mean, as you see, he's not stopped. Even though they attempted to censor him, we've still been able to carry his message, which I think is just a powerful way to really support him and to really pay homage to just the incredible spirit and revolutionary caliber of a person that he is. That mm-hmm. people understand we've got to keep these airways alive. We got to get more people calling in, reporting what's happening, and then reporting how they're organizing to resist it. Because in our resistance is where we're going to build strength.
Right, right. And no feedback yet on investigating those African American men that are being pulled out of the river there in Benton Harbor.
Well,
any movement on that?
We know that Reverend Pinckney has been a major part of that leadership on that front. And so, you know, they understand that when you take a caliber of leader like Reverend Pinckney and remove them from that role of being able to be out and about in the community, that it actually weakens the struggle, because there's very few people that will take that risk. A lot of those people, we were just there last week, many of the people on the line, and you know, you could feel that there is a sense of fear among the residents there. I mean,
okay.
You know, they were happy to see us, but at the same time, they were sort of winking and sort of slipping and giving you the thumbs up, but they weren't joining us, because you could tell that they had been intimidated into
right.
actually lamenting to this austerity, this tyranny.
Right, right. Right, absolutely. I do get that part, because it's the same way here where we are. People are saying yes and thumbs up, but any kind of movement on their part. Like, we had an African-American young man that was brutally murdered by policemen here. It's been about a year and a half ago. And this young man, I think they found, they said, a half of a marijuana cigarette on him. And yet, I think it was like hundreds of rounds of bullets as the policeman chased him down and chased him into the basement of a house he was hiding in, and dogs tore him apart. They had the dogs. And then a couple of days later, some group gave those policemen an award of some type. And it was just like unbelievable. Where's the humanity here? I mean, it was
exactly.
such excessive force that it was just quite crazy. And I do a public TV show, and I've been trying to look for some of the young people. What I want to know is something about this that really bothers me. What I want to know is, who is this young man, Terrence? What was he like as he lived? Because before it's all over with, he'll be seen as, I guess, some kind of villain far worse than what he is. And I don't know, it's just like, how can any individual do another human being like that? It's crazy.
Well, I think, you know, what we understand is that, you know, that we're dealing with a hierarchy of evil that a lot of us have never personally witnessed before. I know my grandmother talked about it. She was born in 1898. I know her mother talked about it in terms of living under the little part of Georgia she was from. You know, it was in the mid-1900s before they knew that slavery had been abolished. They were still being treated, you know, at that level of mistreatment. And so you have all of these different occurrences that have happened, but I'm just reminded that every act of tyranny has had a remnant of resistance. And so I just appreciate what you do and how you are so articulate in being able to share and educate about the fight and about the resistance we've got to have. And I definitely appreciate you calling in and weighing in so that we know what's happening where you're from.
Thank you. And thank you for continuing on for Reverend Pinckney.
It's an honor to do it. It's an honor. I've met all of you great people, and I tell you, it has been life-changing to just have the privilege of sitting in this seat for such a tremendous person and human being like the Reverend Edward Pinkney.
Absolutely.
Well, I really appreciate you. I may have to have you put your phone on mute because right now my computer is locked, and so I cannot.
Okay, I will do that.
Thank you. Well, we're just going to close out the rest of the show by just having a few highlights about the Honorable Dr. Maya Angelou as she joined the Ancestors this week. She is a beloved member of our community. She was seen as a grandmother and an aunt and a godmother and a poet and author and educator. She passed away on the 28th, and she was 86 years old, and in a statement from her family expressed that they are grateful for her ascension and was not belabored by a loss of acuity or comprehension. They described Dr. Angelou as a warrior for equality, tolerance, and peace. And so for me, she was just so phenomenal. I had the chance to meet with her when I was a student at Bennett College, which is one of the only two historically black female institutions in the country. I was a student there from 83 to 87, and she was there sitting in my journalism class for about 3 days, and I can tell you my mouth was wide open. I hung on her every word, her every gasp, her every inflection of every word. She was speaking to my soul because I truly was a young black girl who had grown up in a very loving family, had a very accomplished family, but also had a dark secret of my own victimization and my own molestation that I had carried with me throughout my childhood as my own badge of scarlet letter. And so when I read I Know Why the Carriage Bird Sings, and then when I began to read her poetry, she spoke so eloquently to my own condition. And so we'd just like to share with you Still I Rise by Dr. Maya Angelou in honor of her and her spirit, her loving, very kind spirit and presence in the universe. And we say Ashe as she transitions to be with the Ancestors. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trend me in the very dirt, and still, like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? 'Cause I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room? Just like moons and like suns with the century of tides, just like hope springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't you take it awful hard, 'cause I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean leaping wide, welling and swelling I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gift that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise.
I rise. I rise. We definitely want to send our love and our blessings to the family of the late and always great Dr. Maya Angelou. Her words, her voice, her presence, her love, her nurturing spirit in the universe gave birth to so many artists, so many musicians to connect with their higher self, to be a part of a better, greater good, to do all that you can when you can, while you can. And so we just thank God. We send her back to the ancestors, back to God with love. We thank her for being in our cloud of witnesses, making intercession for all of the activists and the revolutionary spirits of God's people that love justice and love equality and will continue to get up every day and to resist the tyranny of our day. We will fight back. We will fight back. We will organize. And in the words of General Baker, when we organize and when we fight, we win. And so we're going to win. We're going to continue to work together. We're going to continue to promote unity. We're going to continue to hold down the airways of the Pinckney to Pinckney show to make sure that your voice and your information is getting out to the community, out to where it can do some good. I like to say a lot of times we're going to give you some news that you can use. So we want to remind you that Reverend Pinckney goes to court on June the 5th. The court will be at 1:30. We're encouraging everyone to show up to make sure that we continue to support him. It's going to be key that you're at Barham County Courthouse on June the 5th at 1:30 to support Reverend Edward Pinckney in his fight for justice, in his vigilance to protect the efficacy of the voting rights of the people of Bend Harbor. We encourage you to continue to make sure that you're sending your support, 1440 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Again, make sure you're sending your contributions to 1940 Union Street, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. And just want to remind everybody once again, we need you to support and to be vigilant about what is happening in Detroit to the water cutoffs. Please, please, please use your social networking ability to get out the word about Reverend Pinckney. Use your social networking to get out the word about what's happening in Detroit. You can also go to my Facebook page, which is Monica Lewis Patrick. You can look me up. I'm in Detroit. I also, my organization is We the People of Detroit. We are supporting Reverend Pinckney 110%, 300%, if there is such a percentage in this thing. We want to make sure that he is liberated. He is totally exonerated from all charges. And then we also want to make sure that we're organizing together to fight back against what is happening with nullifying and actually preventing over 50% of the African-American population in Michigan from voting. And so we need your help because a lot of people don't know what's happening. And we've got to get the word about what's happening in Benton Harbor, what's happening all across Michigan, what's happening in Detroit with the water and the pensions and this bogus bankrupt. We encourage each one of you to continue to call in every week. Encourage somebody else to call in. Get this information out about what is happening in Benton Harbor. We've got to light up the airways. Once again, I also want to make sure that you are telling everyone that you know that Reverend Pinckney is in great spirits, but he still needs our help. If you're aware of any legal influence that could help or assist him in his strategy, in his fight back, please give him a call. bhbanco.org is the organization. Reverend Edward Pinckney, free Reverend Pinckney. I've been your host, Monica Lewis Patrick, sitting in on the Pinckney to Pinckney show. Mm-hmm.